Today we have a special program for you. We're going to look back at the life's work of two forgotten feminists. First, Františka Plaminková, and later, Anna Pamarová.
Years ago today, on the 29th of February, 1920, the National Assembly of Czechoslovakia adopted a constitution formally establishing a democratic republic with guaranteed equal rights for men and women, including the right to vote. Today, we look back at the life's work of suffragette Františka Plaminková, a feminist teacher and activist turned politician, who together with Milana Horáková, her more famous protege and eventual successor in the Senate, helped ensure principles of equality enshrined in the Constitution were actually put into practice.
Letní noc se rozklenula nade mnou, zlatohvězd se tiše třpití v tmách, za městečkem voní, vůní tajemnou, pokosený jetel na lukách.
Women's suffrage had, in fact, been guaranteed in the 1918 Washington Declaration of Independence, drafted by none other than Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk. Czechoslovakia's first president was an outspoken champion of feminism, in no small part thanks to the influence of his American-born wife, a close friend of Plaminková. The Masaryk couple had met in 1877 in Leipzig, where Tomáš Masaryk was doing his habilitation in philosophy. They grew close while reading English classics together, including John Stuart Mill's seminal feminist text, The Subjection of Women. They married a year later, and after a stint in Vienna, settled in Prague, where he taught some of the first women to attend university. In The Subjection of Women, Mill argues, quote, the principle which regulates the existing social relations between the two sexes, the legal subordination of one sex to the other, is wrong in itself, and now one of the chief hindrances to human improvement. It ought to be replaced by a principle of perfect equality, admitting no power of privilege on the one side, nor disability on the other. That included marriage, which Mills likened to a form of slavery for some women, or unpaid labor at best. Mills' text clearly resonated with both Masaryks and had an enormous influence among early Czech feminists, such as Františka Plaminková, noted Charles University professor Lubuše Hešková in an earlier interview for Radio Prague.
Masaryk, he was a liberal, and for him, the equality between sexes was just extremely important, because he, as a philosopher, not only as a politician, but as a philosopher, thought that modern man could not be based on oppression of someone else. The political feminist movement was primarily bourgeois. The heads of Czech emancipation movement during the First Republic, Františka Plaminková, and her very close colleague, Milada Horáková, they were really devoted to Masarykian Czechoslovak Republic and to Masarykian ideas.
Well, that is certainly true. Plaminková was a pioneering feminist long before Masaryk entered politics. She first got involved in the women's movement when a young school teacher in training. Under Habsburg law, she could not have remained in that noble profession had she taken a husband. Same is true for other female civil servants, such as clerks and postal workers. Repealing what the Czechs called the celibat law and others that discriminated against women became Plaminkova's lifelong mission. So says Rutgers University history professor Melissa Feinberg, author of the book Elusive Equality, Gender, Citizenship, and the Limits of Democracy in Czechoslovakia, 1918 to 1950.
Women weren't fired from jobs with the state once they got married. And that was certainly a preoccupation that Plemingola had throughout her entire life. She was very involved in questions of women's employment and was, I think, you know, throughout the interwar period, really a tireless advocate for trying to get women to be able to realize an equal right to employment.
In 1903, when Plemínková was just 28 and still unmarried, unwilling to give up her career, she founded the Czech Women's Club to bring together others interested in feminism. At one meeting, club members met to discuss Mill's The Subjection of Women, which Charlotte Garrick-Masaryk herself had translated into Czech. The two women became fast friends, and Plemínková would remain close to the Masaryk family for the rest of her life. In 1905, Plemínková also founded the Committee for Women's Voting Rights. With the help of her friend and fellow teacher Marie Tumová, she managed to make universal suffrage a serious public issue in the Czech lands. At the same time, they and other feminists were fervent nationalists, advocating for equality for the nation within the Austro-Hungarian Empire, if not outright independence. Professor Feinberg again.
Czech women's activists like Plemínková were in fact truly dedicated to Czech nationalism. They were Czech nationalists, and they saw women's equality as something that was, at least Plemínková did, I think, tied to Czech national, at least autonomy, and that they believed that Czech women would in fact have a better and more free future within a democratic Czech society. Czech nationalism is so closely tied to this ideal of democracy, and Czech women's activists are able to, in some ways, gain a greater visibility in the public sphere because they're able to paint equal rights for women as being something that is intimately connected with the realization of a true Czech democracy.
In 1907, a large-scale Czech campaign did achieve universal suffrage in the Habsburg lands on the imperial level, but only for men. Bitterly disappointed, Plemínková later realized, however, that nothing excluded women from voting or running in Bohemian regional elections. And so, in 1908, her committee ran Marie Tumová as a candidate and convinced a few other parties to field female contenders as well. But it was not until 1912 when the tactic resulted in a woman actually being elected to the Czech Diet, Božena Víková Kunětická, a feminist writer who identified herself as a radical nationalist. It was a short-lived victory for the suffragettes, at least in the short term. The Bohemian governor disputed Plemínková's interpretation of election regulations and declared the result invalid. But suddenly, supporting female candidates for public office became a means of opposing the Habsburg authorities, part of the battle for the Czech nation's own rights, its own autonomy. And Plemínková became a figure of national prominence and international renown. On the 28th of October, 1918, near the close of the First World War, the new sovereign state of Czechoslovakia declared its independence from the Austro-Hungarian Empire, of which the Czech lands and Slovakia had been a part for centuries. Much of that so-called Washington Declaration, penned by Tomáš Garrigue-Masaryk, comprises a litany of grievances against the Habsburgs. The latter portion declares a Czechoslovak republic with a parliamentary political system, guaranteeing universal suffrage and equal rights for women. But the battle for equality was far from over, notes Charles University professor Lebuše Hečková.
Even after the new law of new suffrage was achieved in, for example, in Czechoslovakia with the new republic, the equality in law was achieved, it was very visible that after 10 years, women were once again just pushed back to their homes. They were just losing their position in politics and so on. Right? Women politicians, they were co-opted, for example, into the revolutionary parliament, and there were 8 women. But these politicians, it was kind of a process of the new whole new republic, which was very quite open and really proclaimed its democratical ideals. But just the real politics changed during these first years. And there were very interesting women politicians, and they were really trying very hard to achieve some changes in the policy of Czechoslovakia. But on the levels of not only parliament politics, but in city councils, just women were piece by piece just pushed outside the politics.
Františka Plaminková joined the progressive Czech National Socialist Party, ČSNS, in 1918 and served in the Prague City Hall until 1925, when she was elected to the Senate. In between, she founded the National Council of Women, an umbrella group of some 50 organizations, which lobbied to ensure equal rights by changing employment and family law, among others. Working alongside her was Milada Horáková, one of the first Czech women to earn a doctorate in law, in 1926. Together, they lobbied to enforce workforce equality on the basis of Article 106 of the Czechoslovak Constitution of 1920. The challenge was that under the Habsburg-era civil code that was still in effect, husbands could exert control over wives, including managing property and allowing or forbidding them to work outside the home. Rutgers University history professor Melissa Feinberg again.
Certainly, Horáková was someone who was, you know, very involved in the same organizations that Plaminková was, and as one of the first Czech female lawyers, she was really invaluable to the Czech women's movement in their battles to get women equal rights within civil law and also unemployment law and citizenship law. You know, she and Plaminková really developed this long partnership that went from the 20s into the 30s.
Although the Senate chairperson in 1936, Plaminková was unable to push through many changes to the family code. The following year, she called out her own party and the entire legislature for failing to recognize women as citizens, instead treating them legally as daughters, mothers, and wives. Her efforts would be abruptly curtailed following Nazi Germany's occupation of Czechoslovakia. Sensing the danger, in 1937, addressing an American audience and speaking in English, Plaminková warned of the threat posed by Hitler to Czechoslovakia's democracy and the situation of women in the country.
Czech women have had the oldest suffrage in the world. In Bohemia, there was a woman in parliament even before the war. And after the war, the Czechoslovak nation immediately gave its women equal rights with men. These rights have been put into practice as well. There are now 9 women in the Chamber of Deputies, 5 in the Senate. There are women judges, women teachers, and public officials, all sharing executive power, advancement, and remuneration on a basis equal with men. We work side by side with men in all fields, and this cooperation has borne good results. We have abolished legalized prostitution, we have social legislation of the front rank, and magnificent health and social institutions for students and workers, for children and adults. Popular education is on a high level, which naturally reflects our family life. What a fine development it is. Would it not be a crime if another war should interrupt it? We all, people and government, are using every effort in the direction of world peace to bring about the victory of common sense, to show that the only lasting peace is the atmosphere which helps all people develop their best, their most human qualities, and make human happiness possible.
Plaminková had written an open letter to Adolf Hitler in September 1938, shortly before the annexation of Czechoslovakia's Sudetenland border area. She called out the dictator for his lies and propaganda, against the democratic nation. She wrote another to Emil Hacha, who became president after Edvard Beneš left for London with the government in exile. She complained that there was not a single woman in the 50-member leadership of the only permitted protectorate party, National Communion. On September the 1st, 1939, the day Nazi Germany invaded Poland and World War II began, Plamenkova was arrested by the Gestapo and underwent 6 weeks of interrogation and abuse, if not outright torture. But they did not break her spirit. Upon her release, Plamenkova remained under the Gestapo's constant surveillance, viewed as someone who could inspire Czechoslovak resistance. Indeed, she had entrusted Milada Horáková to create an underground group to carry out the work of the women's groups she had founded. Františka Plamenkova was executed on the 30th of June, 1942, in the wave of deadly reprisals after the assassination by Czechoslovak paratroopers of Reinhard Heydrich, the Reich's protector of the Protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia. After the war, Milada Horáková, who would herself be executed a decade later after a communist show trial, took up Plamenkova's seat in the Senate. The torch had been passed.
Hope you enjoyed that look back at the life of Františka Plamenkova, a feminist teacher and activist turned politician who, together with Milada Horáková, helped ensure principles of equality enshrined in the Constitution were actually put into practice. Next, we look at the life of Anna Pamrova. She was an unusual woman in many ways. Influenced by Eastern philosophy, she pioneered feminist and environmentalist ideas in an era that had little understanding for such concepts. Unhappily married, she spent over 45 years of her life in seclusion, corresponding with some of the leading thinkers of her time. And her life and work still inspires people today, including her American great-great-granddaughter, who only recently found out about her extraordinary ancestor, as Jan Richter has been finding out.
If she lived today, Anna Pamrova would still be considered a remarkable woman. But over a century ago, her independence and courage were rare and shocking to many of her contemporaries. The author of the autobiographical novel Anti-Eve and other works exploring the role of women, Anna Pamrova lived her life according to the principles she believed in, regardless of the opinions of others. After she died in September 1945, Anna Pamrova fell into oblivion. It was only in the 1970s that a young schoolteacher, Vlasta Urbánková, came across Pamrova's tomb in Žďárec, a village some 40 kilometers northwest of Brno, and began rediscovering her life and work.
To bylo někdy v 70. letech a stanula jsem u jejího hrobu.
I read the epitaph, which made a deep impression on me, and I thought this woman was really interesting. I then sent some of my students to Žďárec to find people who knew her. They wrote an article about it, and since then I've been researching Anna Pamrova's life, with people bringing me all kinds of material.
Ještě ji pamatovali. A tak se ten materiál postupně hromadil.
The daughter of a forest keeper, Anna Pamrova developed a deep love for the woods and hills of the Bohemian Moravian Highlands, where, with a few exceptions, she spent all of her life. Nature and people's relation to it is one of her work's central themes. She did not like modern technological advances and warned of the impact they would have on humans.
Samozřejmě technický pokrok nelze zastavit, ale
technological progress cannot be stopped, but she warned of its harmful consequences. She believed that industrial production, which forces mechanical work onto people, makes them shallow. They become slaves of the machines, stripping them of feelings that enrich human life. They no longer feel the need to live spiritually and become just accessories for the machines. She said man's greatest humiliation was to become a slave of the machine.
ponížením člověka stát se otrokem stroje.
In 1899, at the age of 39, Anna Pomerová made perhaps the most daring decision of her life. She felt she could no longer live in her unhappy marriage. She took her two children and moved out to the woods near Žďárec. At first, they lived in a wooden hut that was only later replaced by a small brick house. Miss Urbanková says this was considered a scandal by most of the locals.
Těch, kteří přijímali pozitivně, bylo méně, možná minimum.
Those who looked on her favorably were very few. She kept her distance from people and protected her privacy. But she was in touch with the local people. She bought food from them, for instance, and also went to pick up her mail at the post office. And I also think that many people envied her because she was a close friend of the poet Otokar Březina. Some of them might have thought she felt she was better than them.
Some years later, Pomerová became friends with the Havel family from Prague, who built their summer retreat near her house, and who were among the few people she maintained close relations with. Helena Pernicová is a member of the association devoted to Anna Pomerová and her work. She told me what she finds fascinating about Pomerová's personality.
She was a woman who had no problem to be lonely if it was necessary. If it was in harmony, in agreement with her feelings, with her beliefs. So it's a strong message. And of course, there can be many people of the kind who are not philosophers, as she was, who are not writers, as she was, and who are unknown. And so she's not the only one, but she represents a kind of people who have been looking for the best place in the world for themselves, how to live their life authentically. And I found that also very important.
The following years were hard. In 1906, Anna Pomerová's young daughter died. And her son, František, moved out to the United States in 1914 to avoid having to fight in the First World War. It only recently came to light that he stayed in touch with his mother, but nothing was known of his life overseas. But a few years ago, Elaine Eller, a university student from California, was researching her Czech ancestors and got in touch with Anna Pomerová's followers. It turned out Elaine was Pomerová's great-great-great-granddaughter. Over the phone from the United States, Elaine Eller explains.
I'm searching online in Czech language, which I don't understand very well. I've only taken, you know, one semester of the language. And I'm trying to translate what they're saying about her. And I have very little clue what is going on. So I emailed them and said who I was. And they said they didn't believe me. They said, "What? This must be a joke." And then she emailed me back, and they met me, and they took me to the house in the woods, which was amazing, and I have amazing pictures of me at her house. The owners of the house now, they have some of her original furniture, and they have pictures of her up in the house, and they have some of her letters with, you know, his great-grandfather or somebody who originally bought the house, and it's been in their family for a couple generations, and it was just an amazing experience. And meeting all the wonderful people of the society was great, and it was just almost surreal.
Is she an inspiration for you in any way?
For me, yes. I definitely think that she was an inspiration at the time. You know, she left her husband. That was unheard of. She raised babies on her own. She self-educated. She educated her own children. She, for me, is an inspiration as a mother, definitely, that she stood up for herself as a woman when nobody else was, at a time when everything was male-dominated. Even today, she is not known except for the fact that she was friends with a famous male poet, Otakar Brzezina. That's the only reason anybody even knows who she is. Although she has these books that are very powerful, and from what I have understood of them, she was definitely very radical for her time, specifically in things relating to feminism and motherhood even.
Today, Anna Pomerová's ideas live on, studied and published by the association of her friends that formed long after her death. Pomerová's work and life has recently become the subject of a series of magazine articles and TV documentaries, reviving the legacy of an original thinker who lived her life in a way she considered honest and right.